what we learned investigating the death of Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez.
It sounds like you ran almost every theory to its end.
Binge all 8 episodes of Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It's Friday, January 27th. I'm Suzanne Whatley, and you're listening to the LA Report from KPCC and LAist.com. Here's what's happening. The recent wet weather has paid off. The California Department of Water Resources has announced that Southern California is likely to receive more water this year from Northern California reservoirs through the State Water Project aqueducts. KPCC climate emergency reporter Aaron Stone has more.
Water providers such as LA Department of Water and Power could get 30% of the maximum water they need, up from the measly 5% they received in 2022 after 3 of the driest years in California history. But Carla Namath, the director of the state's Department of Water Resources, says conditions could change quickly, given the increasingly severe weather swings caused by the climate crisis.
We'll either emerge from this drought completely, or we will have continuing erratic conditions.
For now, current local water restrictions remain. Angelenos can still only water outside twice a week, though hand-watering trees and food gardens is allowed as needed. Covering the climate emergency, I'm Aaron Stone.
Following mass shootings in Monterey Park, Half Moon Bay, and Oakland in the span of just a week, California U.S. Senator Alex Padilla is calling for more federal action on gun safety.
Americans are sick of having our hearts broken.
Specifically, the senator joined Senate leader Chuck Schumer and other Democrats in calling on the Federal Trade Commission to investigate JR-15 assault rifles marketed to kids. They say the gun industry is advertising the weapon as a child-sized version of the AR-15.
And so Leader Schumer is right to call out the companies that are not just peddling weapons of war, but shamelessly pushing these weapons of war on our children.
The manufacturer of the JR-15 says it's a sporting rifle intended to make a young person's first shooting experience safe and instructive. 3 years ago this week, Los Angeles County reported its first COVID-19 case. It was just the 4th nationwide. KPCC senior health reporter Jackie Fortier explains where we are now.
Since then, 3.6 million more cases have been reported, and tragically, more than 35,000 Angelenos have died from the virus. Rather than the post-holiday surge that's happened in the last 2 Januaries, this month has been relatively mild. That's due to 3 things, said LA County Public Health Director Barbara Ferrer. Lots of people have been vaccinated, lots of people have been infected, and
we know our vaccines are effective against Omicron. They're working really well. What we're seeing now are new strains of Omicron, not new variants. That combination, I think, is really helping us this winter as well.
Ferrer expects cases to keep dropping. Wastewater data shows flu and RSV are also declining in L.A. Covering health, I'm Jackie Fortier.
The city of L.A. must provide shelter for 60% of unhoused people under a settlement reached last year in a federal court case. The annual homeless count taking place this week will be a test of progress toward that goal. KPCC's Julia Barajas spoke with volunteers helping with the tally on the west side.
About 150 volunteers gathered at Westwood Presbyterian Church. They grabbed a quick bite to eat, bright yellow vests, and flashlights before heading out to count unhoused Angelenos. The volunteers tracked their findings using a new app meant to provide more reliable results than last year. Emily Nordhues is a doctoral student at UCLA and managed the app in her group.
It worked really smoothly. I thought it was pretty easy to follow. I didn't lose sort of connection at any point, but we did have another person running the app just in case.
She says it's impossible to walk through Westwood Village without seeing unhoused people, and she wanted to do something to help out. I'm Julia Barajas.
Today is International Holocaust Remembrance Day, the same date that Russia's Red Army liberated the Nazi concentration camp Auschwitz in 1945. At the Los Angeles Museum of the Holocaust, you can learn more about that time in history and see how it relates to the hatred that we see in the world today. The museum's board president, Guy Lippa, says that about 90% of its visitors are LA Unified School District students.
The vast majority of them are not Jewish, but we introduce them to survivors and they learn about their survival experience and how to ensure that they're able to use those lessons and that personal experience to better their community.
Lippe is also the grandson of Holocaust survivors. He says the museum's goal is to inspire truth through humanity. Michelle Yeoh made history this week as the first woman who identifies as Asian to be nominated for the Best Actress Oscar. But film historians and fans were quick to bring up a 1930s leading lady with an Asian background that was concealed. KPCC's Mike Rowe has more.
Merle Oberon was a South Asian actress, born in Bombay, to a mother with Sri Lankan ancestry. Oberon started out playing characters with foreign origins, but had yet to become a star. Here's film historian Monica R. Sandler.
When she tried to be in white spaces, she was rejected. People would find out who she was and that she was a mixed race individual. This did not go well for her.
Film industry guidelines banned showing interracial relationships, making it nearly impossible for a woman of color to play a lead role. It was movie mogul Samuel Goldwyn who rebranded her as a white British lead. Her background was concealed with a cover story that she was from Australia and that her previous roles required wigs and extensive makeup. Her true history didn't fully emerge until after she died. I'm Mike Rowe.
Oberon, therefore, was the first Asian nominee for Best Actress Oscar. Merle Oberon was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Actress for her performance in The Dark Angel, a 1935 film. During the pandemic, Stephanie Moran-Reed and her husband said that they were not seeing enough children's books that reflected their daughter's Latina and Black heritage, so they opened a bookstore, Miha Books, just north of Long Beach.
Our mission is to showcase books that feature children of color, books by and about authors of color.
Tomorrow, Miha Books is closing its retail space. It was not a long run, but for a couple of years, they had something special. Today will be sunny. Highs will be in the mid to upper 60s from the beaches into downtown Los Angeles, as well as in the Santa Clarita Valley. In the San Fernando Valley, around 70 degrees. San Gabriel Valley, highs will be in the upper 60s. In the Antelope Valley, mid 50s to low 60s. You can expect much cooler temperatures over the weekend with a chance of light rain Sunday and Monday. It'll be dry but cool Tuesday through Thursday of next week. Thank you for listening to the LA Report. I'm Suzanne Whatley, inviting you to read more news at laist.com and listen live anytime at kpcc.org or on the KPCC app.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.